Greetings, girl, and welcome to my world.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode. Today, we're going to dive into a really fascinating topic, and that is the Sephardic Jewish ancestry of Native Americans, and especially Cherokees. So what does this mean for shamanism, and how come our own lineage gets erased and often hidden and so inaccessible to us? So these are the things that we're going to talk about in this episode. Now, I learned about this a few years ago from a Native American woman who was talking about the stories from her ancestors, her great-great-grandparents, and how to them it was just a known fact that they were Jewish and that they had Judaic ancestry. She even talked about them having a different skin tone back then, even different hair color, that red hair was common as well. And a part of this story was a really interesting claim, which is that they were interbred with Africans as an attempt to erase their ancestry or make it less traceable. Now, when it comes to our own ancestry, especially Jewish ancestry, or for that matter, any lineage that's been exiled throughout history, it's not uncommon for that heritage to get lost, that kind of information to get lost. For me personally, I discovered pretty recently in my life how strong my own Jewish ancestry is, for example. What you then want to do with that information or what you ascribe to that, that's a different story, and that's, you know, dependent on each and every one of us individually. But it's so important to know where we come from for different reasons, and especially when it comes down to our spiritual abilities, because we have a not just genetic, but spiritual inseparable connection with our own ancestors. So it's so important to become more empowered just through the knowledge of where we come from and who we come from. Now, we live in an age where DNA testing is now a lot more accessible to, let's say, the common person. And there were a lot of people who wanted to know, for example, if they came from Cherokee royalty, that sparked a big, let's say, demand for DNA testing. And there was a lot of DNA testing done in specifically a Cherokee reservation. And what they found was really fascinating, which is that they had very high levels of DNA test markers associated with Native Egyptians, Turks, Lebanese, Hebrews, and Mesopotamians. And genetically, what the scientists concluded from this information was that they were actually more Jewish, that Native American Cherokees are more Jewish than the typical American Jew of European ancestry or Ashkenazi Jews. So pretty fascinating stuff. So why is this not widely known, right? Well, what they found was that the haplogroup T emerges as the biggest lineage, and then followed by U, X, J, and H. Now, what that means in common terms is that the same proportions of these genetic markers are found in populations of Egypt, Israel, and other parts of the East, Middle East, East Mediterranean. So, based on genetics alone, scientists labeled the Cherokees as Middle Eastern, North African population. So what's funny about these tests is that a lot of people who took them, they knew that they had Native American ancestors. It was the reason that they took the test in the first place, because they want to see what tribes, right? And the test results came back with absolutely not a word about their Native American ancestry, but it just showed up as Jewish. So they felt like they'd been defrauded by these tests. So what they didn't understand is that they're the same thing. They're the same genetic markers. So getting the Jewish test result basically says that they did indeed have Native American ancestry. Now, when we look at Native American population, when you look at skin color, facial features, you know, the Semitic origins are definitely, you know, visible. But it's also important to note that, you know, despite the fact that these findings are very contested and very controversial, which we'll get into later, they also found a lot of Mayan genetics. So what happened is that Iberian Sephardic Jews, they came into North Carolina. They came into the Georgia Mountains to mine gold and silver. This also makes me wonder if the association that we often have with Jewish communities being very experienced and skilled with precious metals actually comes from the fact that they were trying to escape execution because the southern part of Europe was becoming Catholic. They were being persecuted. And they had to flee to other continents and started mining silver and gold there. Now, a lot of ancient Jewish artifacts have actually been found in the U.S. as well. It started with the Newark Holy Stones. And the first of these, the Keystone, because of its shape, was found in 1816 and was inscribed with Hebrew, and it contained one phrase on each side, and it said, "Holy of Holies, King of the Earth, the Law of God, and the Word of God." Now, later that year, a sandstone box was also found with a black rock in it, which was a limestone carved with, again, a Hebrew text that was a version of the Ten Commandments. And it's written in a way to be recited cyclically, like in prayer. And it also depicted a guy with a turban and a robe holding a tablet. And right above the figure, it says Moses, translated on the inscription. So, undeniable Hebrew finds in the U.S. So, what can we conclude from this? Why is this important? Well, where does the confusion come in? Why is it not widely known that Native American ancestry is actually the same or similar to having ancient Judaic genetics? It's because it proves that Native Americans come from the lost tribes of Israel, the 12 lost tribes. There are actually 13, but that's maybe a topic for a different episode. And what this means is that they carry special genetics when it comes to their healing abilities, when it comes to their shamanic practices. And now this information gets lost throughout history because of persecution. But why the systematic persecution of groups with specifically a deeply spiritual way of life? That's what I want to know. They were advanced shamans, just like the ancient Judaic Essenes. And often shamanism is referred to as a religion. I don't refer to it as that. And Native Americans and Essenes didn't refer to it as a religion either, because it was a way of life. Their shamanic practices were completely integrated with daily life because they used them for survival, to find food, to know where to migrate for rain, for fertility, for healing, for all the rites of passages that we go through in life, because they knew that they were deeply dependent on nature and creator, source, God. And when you look at all the shamanic practices, not just between these two groups, but all over the world throughout history, what they all have in common is journeying and specific methods of journeying, but also cleansing and living at one with nature. And these specific methods, they vary from geographic location, culture, time and history, etc. And a few common interesting finds. First of all, they grow their hair out. The ancient Essenes, they lived as Nazarites, at least a lot of them did. They grew out their hair. That was a sign by which you could recognize a Nazarite, because their hair, as an extension of their nervous system, symbolized their connection to God. Same goes for Rastafari, who, by the way, are also connected to the lost tribes of Israel. But Native Americans also grew their hair out. And what's really important to know is that there is actual proofs for the spiritual abilities that Native Americans have, aside from the fact that we know that they were very advanced shamans and healers, because the U.S. Army started to enroll Native Americans, because they were very interested in their super soldier-like abilities and their extrasensory abilities. So they had them perform all different types of tests, and they outperformed the non-Native Americans like crazy. But then there was also a difference that showed up in the test results within the Native Americans before and after cutting their hair, getting their military buzz. And these tests proved that their spiritual abilities, their extrasensory perception, was very much tied to their hair, because they lost these abilities once their hair was shaven. Much like the Nazarites of the ancient Essenes. Another interesting synchronicity, let's say, is the fact that they journey in pyramid shapes. So you can get a copper pyramid if you are aware of Shape Power, a very interesting book. These geometric shapes, they have an effect on our body and on our soul when we journey. And pyramids, teepees, they all rely on this Shape Power that's used in different ways. So when we get to the question, why would anyone want to erase any proof or interbreed groups in a way that very much confuses their genetic heritage? It's because they have these strong and unique gifts, and suppressors in the world know that. And even though suppression of these groups may seem like it's just about geographical territory or gold or frontiers, there is a bigger agenda to their systematic oppression, whether it's the Native Americans, the Essenes, or Africans or Aboriginal communities, because we see constant displacement, assimilation, genocide, millions and millions of Native children disappearing, women being taken as concubines, the introduction of disease and poison into their communities, whether it be through food or alcohol or forced sterilization or other medical interventions. It's because it's not just about the territory, it's about the fact that, as they say, the kingdom is within. It means that the access that we have to heaven on earth is within us through these abilities, and they are very strong in certain genetic lines, like historically the lost tribes of Israel. Some had specific, very strong genetic healing abilities. Another lineage of these tribes were seers, others spoke in tongues or were prophets, etc. Now, when it comes to these findings, I used to be a research assistant back in the day in art, but once you know how to do proper historical research and navigate historical publications, you see the pattern of how sensitive or revealing information comes out. Then there's a conscious decision to cover it up. The evidence is then destroyed, or it's called debunked or fake news or conspiracy, and it's replaced with a different narrative. You see this over and over again, or they say that objects have been planted to further religious agendas. But once you know how to search, you can still find original news events and how much proof there's actually out there, not just about Native Americans and their Judaic heritage, but Egyptian mummies found in the Grand Canyon and all over the US for that matter, Egyptian artifacts found in Australia, the Gosford glyphs, even Nephilim skeletons, giant skeletons that were found all across the world, especially in the USA, being taken away by the Smithsonian Institute. And we see efforts to cover up and disconnect us from our own spiritual gifts through our ancestry over and over again. I'm pretty fascinated by these family tree 23andMe ancestry organizations as well. Look at their logos too if you're into symbolism. But the fact that these organizations, and also Masonic or Mormon organizations, are obsessed with genealogy is because of these spiritual gifts that are tied to them And this makes you wonder if it's related to the fact that spirits can actually be matched to our own unique spiritual gifts and where we vibrate, on what frequency we vibrate specifically in relation to Creator. So to conclude, we need the storytelling of our ancestors. We need to know how to connect with our land. We need to know where we come from. It's more important than ever. And you see how we only really need one generation to completely erase and forget where we come from and change the perspective on our own history. If you're interested in all of this, make sure that you go to my website. You're signed up for my upcoming spiritual battle training. And in the description, you can also find all the other channels that I'm on. Thanks for being here, and I'll see you in the next episode.